Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
All right, folks, good afternoon. This is Bruce Lipka coming to you today on Blog Talk Radio on the UR Tennis Network. Today, Thursday, the 9th of May, 2013, it is a glorious day for tennis here in our nation's capital. Hopefully everyone's clay courts are opening up and the weather's changing and folks are getting outdoors and shaking off the winter blues and playing a little bit of tennis. Today on our show, we are honored indeed to have as our guest John Embry, who is the CEO and Executive Director of the United States Professional Tennis Association. John is an industry veteran who's been President of Prince Sports of the Americas, President of Bow the Match, Vice President and General Manager of the Racquet Division for Wilson Sporting Goods. Most recently, he launched a consulting practice that helps out a lot of folks, including USTA, ITA, Peter Burwash, several technologies, Don A. I mean, folks, it doesn't get better than this for a professional in our field. Stay with us today. We'll be back after a quick commercial, talk about USPTA and John Embry and what his vision holds and what the future looks like for the teaching professional who's a member of that organization. Stay with us, folks.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
Folks, we're back today here. You're on the Bruce Lipka Show. Our guest today, John Embry. Our call-in number for those interested with any questions for me or Mr. Embry, 714-583-6853. John, you on the line with us today?
I am. Looking forward to it, Bruce. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great, John. Thanks for spending some time with us here on a Thursday. I'm sure you're busy. As with most of our guests, you know, take us back to the beginning and tell me a little bit about your introduction to tennis. I know you're a two-sport Hall of Famer there at Washington and Lee, soccer and tennis, but where did the tennis arm begin? Where did you start playing, and what drew you to the sport?
My father, as many of us got started in tennis through a family member. My dad was a tennis player, played at College of Dartmouth, and he introduced me to tennis and started at 6 years old and been playing ever since. So it's been a lifelong passion. And I got to tell you, I'm really blessed because when you think about it, to be able to make a career out of a sport that you've been playing as long as we all have is pretty special. So I'm really, really lucky in that regard.
Well, it's like, you know, several years ago I went to Bill Timm's induction into one of the Hall of Fames he's been inducted to. And he said that, you know, the first job he ever got, he basically was retiring, because the definition of retirement is doing what you like to do and what you want to do every day. And I'm doing it in a sport that I love so much, then I've never worked. And certainly I feel that way. I keep waiting for him to knock on my door and tell me that, you know, the jig is up, that I don't get to earn a living doing exactly what I want to do and what I love to do every day, so I can relate to what you're saying.
Right.
Tell me about a little bit about, you know, professionally, where'd you start out after college? What'd the career track look like?
Yeah, after W&L, during my years at DeWashington Lee, I taught at a club in Great Falls, Virginia, the River Bend Golf and Country Club, my junior and senior year, or actually my sophomore and junior year summers. And then my senior year after I graduated, I played a little bit on the American Express Satellite Circuit. Then I taught at the Homestead Hotel for a great guy named Pat Haynes. And from there, got a job as the director of tennis over at the Boonesboro Country Club in Lynchburg, Virginia. So those of you in the Middle Atlantic area know that I've got some real roots there. And so, and was there in Lynchburg for 3 summers, and then went to work for the USTA and started the USTA Adult League program, because we did a couple of the pilot programs in 1978 and 79 in Lynchburg. And then when the USTA adopted the USTA League program for permanency in March of 1980, I was serving as the chairman of the USTA Adult League Committee, newly formed, and then I was asked to be the first National League administrator, moved up to New York at that particular time. But my teaching started in Virginia and had a great experience there, and it's been really amazing because I'm now sort of coming back full circle to helping facilitate teaching opportunities for the rest of our organization.
And what was it that interested you on making the jump from teaching and coaching and directing at a club to, you know, something that's more administrative?
Well, that's an interesting question. When I was in Lynchburg and teaching at my club and running these pilot programs for the USTA on adult league tennis, I really had an interest in doing that. And it's sort of a phenomenal story because the USTA adopted the program in 1980. We were actually in St. Louis talking to Michelob Light about being our sponsor. Those of you that remember the leagues back in 1980,
sure.
Michelob Light was our first sponsor. And we were sitting in their boardroom talking about the program and how it's going to be run. And the group marketing manager from Anheuser-Busch says, well, now that we've got this deal in place, who's going to run this thing for us? And everybody looked at me and I said, geez, I'd be flattered. So it just one thing sort of led to another, being in the right place at the right time or whatever, some serendipity, I guess, but it was a terrific opportunity. I said, gosh, yeah, I'd love to do this. So that's how it all got started. And then after my 2.5 years at the USTA, I ended up going back to teaching and running a club in New Orleans for 4.5 years, which was a terrific opportunity at the New Orleans Hilton. And it was from there that I got the job at Wilson. So
what years it's
been
you
sort of
New
interesting path, but I can't tell you why I went from one to the other than it felt like it was the right thing to do at the time.
What years were you at the New Orleans Hilton?
1982 to 1986.
I was there. I think, is there an indoor court there?
Yeah, well, you played in a set. You played in one of the satellites. You played. What happened was I was the first tournament of the third segment of the USTA satellites at the time. And so all you college guys, when you got out of school, you came to play my event. The Junior Davis Cup team played, and it was a great event. We had Andre actually came with his brother when he was 14 years old and played. We had a great – it was just a great event. It was at our indoor facility, and I really loved having that tournament sort of starting off that first of the five segments for the USTA, and it was a great – started the summer circuit for everybody.
Sure, and from there off to Wilson, how was the transition there that you went from, again, back from the club, back into, you know, more administrative? Where'd you start at Wilson? What were you doing at the beginning?
I think I probably had the greatest job of anybody in tennis, and I was in charge. I was hired to be the director of racket sports promotions. Gene Buick, who was a giant in the industry for so many years and had done so much in terms of growing tennis, and he was going to retire. Max Brownlee had left to take a job at Prince, and I actually took Max Brownlee's job, and a lot of people in the industry know Max, who's been a terrific friend for many, many years. And this opportunity came up, and Bob Schaefer and Linda Ryan, who were on the promotions side of Wilson, recommended me for the job, and I was delighted to accept that. And so I moved in May of 1986 from New Orleans back to my home in Chicago, which is terrific. And my first job was the director of racket sports promotions, and so what I was responsible for was all the touring pros, all the teaching professionals, all of our juniors that were playing with Wilson, any grassroots promotions, our ball adoptions with USTA, anything and everything that had to do on a promotional side, I was involved, and it was just a great job. I traveled 6 months a year. I was single, going all over the world, and had a heck of a time and just enjoyed and learned so much about the sport and it really gave me a platform for the rest of my career.
And I'm thinking back that I think that's where I first met you, and I'm thinking there was a fellow named Wally Craig. Is that a name you're remembering?
Wally started at Wilson, and he and Max Brownlee were part of the promotion department at Wilson. And Wilson went through some tumultuous times at the end of 1985 when the company was sold to from Pepsi to Westray. Wally left to go to Prince. He convinced Max Brownlee to go over and join him, and I ended up taking Max's job. So, yeah, Wally, Gene Buick, Linda Harris, Bob Schaefer, that was the crew of Max Brownlee. That was the crew that we ran Wilson Promotions on the racket sports side, and they were the best in the industry. Everybody knew them. Their reputations were fantastic, and that's why Wilson really had such a strong grassroots network, and I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity and spend 17 and a half years with Wilson after that.
And it was me calling you and constantly begging for equipment that you didn't give me, so I had to switch to Prince. But I'm not going to throw that up there because, you know, I wasn't that good, so that's okay. But then
once
I was coaching college tennis and you were in the Midwest and I was at Miami of Ohio, you were always kind enough to help support the team, so thank you for that.
And by the way, my daughter is a freshman at Miami of Ohio, finishing tomorrow, her first year, and I was so disappointed to know that Miami of Ohio dropped their men's tennis program several years ago. That was really devastating.
Yep. We dropped it. Well, you should have been me who was the coach at the time, you know, who got called into an athletic director's office and told that we're de-emphasizing the program. But that certainly is now in your new position with the USPTA. If you can figure out a way that we can get involved and create a board of some sort that does something with college, or a committee with college tennis, that can save programs, because God knows the ITA isn't exactly been able to save the programs, so we got to do something, but that's another discussion for another day, I think.
And I'd be happy to add that discussion. I believe we as tennis professionals throughout the United States can have an impact on the health and well-being of college tennis, because not only are you producing players for college tennis, but colleges that are threatening to cancel their tennis programs, we've got to be advocates. We've got to support tennis. We've got to tell college coaches, and we've got to tell the administrations of those colleges why tennis is so important, not only from lifetime skills, but the business skills that they're going to, that the people are going to learn, the academics that tennis players always have been able to profess. We've got to do a lot from a networking standpoint, from an advocacy standpoint, to support college tennis. That is a longer conversation, but I'm a huge college tennis advocate because I know how important college tennis coaches are in the community and what they can contribute to tennis on a long-term basis. So we'll leave that subject for another day, Bruce, but thanks for bringing it up because
Well, one of the things that really is so, you know, you were of the, I'll call it the golden era of tennis, which is what got me hooked on tennis was when it went from the American Express circuit to the Penn circuit, when the Penn circuit came through South Florida, where I was growing up, and it played at what was at the time called Lavers in Del Rey, which has changed names a million times, and these guys were sleeping in tents in the parking lot and in Volkswagen vans, and there was guys from all over God's creation, and you could sign in to play the qualies, and you played it, and there was a circuit. It was something real. You know, there was lots of guys playing tennis, college guys from all over, teaching pros, foreign guys, everything was out there. And that, to me, was different from any other sport. And it seems like, I don't know if we've shrunk or the other sports have grown or a combination, but, you know, what do you see as the current health of tennis out there in the U.S.?
Well, a lot of the pros that I talk to, they're busier than they've ever been. There are a lot of pros that feel like they've got so much on their plates, they almost can't take on any other responsibilities. In fact, I have pros calling me all the time saying, I can't find good assistant pros to come into my club and help me with all the things that I have going on. And so that would indicate to me that there's a lot of potential and that there's plenty of opportunity for professionals in the industry. You know, you look at all the numbers that the USTA produces and the TIA produces, and there's a sense that things are improving. The TIA has a specific goal of going to 6.5 million players, frequent players, by the year 2015. That's an admirable and lofty goal, and I think it's something that can be achievable. And the reason why that particular statistic is so important is because we know that frequent players who play more than 21 times a year are 66% more likely to take lessons, buy equipment, join clubs, et cetera, et cetera. So if we can grow our frequent player base, that's going to contribute to the growth of the industry on an economic standpoint, and that's going to be more players for professionals, it's going to be more club members, it's going to be more kids that want to play college. So I sense that things are on a pretty positive vein right now. The industry is working hard together, and I applaud the efforts of the TIA. There's certainly a lot more that we can do. But as an industry, we really set an example against other industries like golf and other sports because we are together. We are aligned. We know that we have to grow the game and because it's integral to our sport surviving. So I feel pretty good about the game. I feel pretty good about where the industry is heading.
What about the, you know, folks like I joined the USPTA and the, you know, Dennis hadn't even started the PTR yet, which was the USPTR back when I joined. But I joined the USPTA for two reasons. And everyone has their own reasons of wanting to belong to the organization. By the way, is it accurate to call it a trade organization or are we not a trade organization?
We are a trade organization. We are a nonprofit trade association of tennis professionals
okay.
and coaches.
Correct. Just want to understand that because guys talk different things. But I joined for two reasons. And I joined because I had no health insurance when I was trying to be a pro tennis player, and they used to offer health insurance, and they had nice little money tournaments, and I could win a couple dollars here and there. I had no idea at the time that I would end up with a career in the sport and that I would be recognized by my peers as the professional of the year on multiple occasions, and I would speak at conventions. Total surprise. But at the time, it really fitted what I needed. Is one of the goals to have many different facets that fit many different people so that we can get folks to be part of the association, or is the goal to steer it only toward a certain type of person?
No, we want to be much more inclusive and much more diverse as an organization. In fact, it's actually my fifth core pillar of the strategic plan that I rolled out to our board and the executive committee last month in terms of what we want to do for the next 2 to 3 years. It's the roadmap for what we want to accomplish, and that fifth core pillar is to be much more diverse and inclusive and reach out to all kinds of different audiences. But so to pigeonhole us to have one particular pro or have one particular skill set is not what we want to do. We want to be broad-based, and we want to be inclusive with so many different folks. Joining USPTA is an honor and a privilege, and it indicates a level of expertise and experience that I think is really important to show employers, important to show consumers. But we've got to do a better job with our membership. We've got to do a better job offering benefits. You mentioned a couple benefits that attracted you earlier. One of the things that I hear on a regular basis is people say, well, why should I join the USPTA or PTR for that matter? What am I getting for my membership benefit, for my dues that I'm paying? And they're right. They are absolutely right. We've got to do much, much more to offer tangible, quantifiable benefits that a professional says, you know what, I've got to join the USPTA because if I don't, I'm making a career mistake. And that it's incumbent on me and our staff here to come up with tangible benefits so that a member could say, wow, there's really something new and special going on at the USPTA, and we've got a lot of really great things to look forward to. And so I'm working really hard. I've got some great things in the works, and hopefully we'll be making some announcements over the course of the next 2 or 3 or 4 months as to what those benefits are going to be, so that members out there or non-members out there can say, wow, I've got to join, or a member that currently is in the association says, I've got to stay with the association because of all the great things that are happening.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I pretty much say it how I see it, and the only reason I'm a member, to be honest with you, is because work pays the dues. If it's coming out of my own pocket, I don't see a benefit for me to be the member, so I wouldn't belong. So it's really nice that you're cognitive of that, because as a member, I don't feel as if anybody over time has ever taken that into consideration. And I look forward to moving forward and seeing what changes there about that.
Yeah, let me just comment about that, Bruce. You're right, and you're lucky that your club pays for your dues, because for the majority of our members, that is not the case.
Right.
So if you're putting your money down, you want to be able to know that you're really getting something quantifiable. And most people say, well, the liability insurance that's offered by the USPTA is great. Thank you for that. But what else is there? There's an equipment program with our sponsor, with Head Pen. There's this, that, and the other. But do those really make a difference to the teaching professional? And I'm just going to comment on two things. The two most asked for, the two most requested benefits that our members tell us in surveys and in conversation is, one, they want a health insurance program, which we don't have right now. Number two, they want a retirement program. We don't have either, but we're going to have it starting in 2014.
I wasn't aware there was not health insurance anymore, so that's interesting. I think it's great to bring that back.
The environment for associations and for memberships has been very tricky from the medical side, but with the Affordable Care Act going into place in 2014, there's a lot of interest in the field right now, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to put something together for our membership that is going to be pretty compelling, because our members are crying for health care. We're getting a little bit older as an association, and people are saying, listen, I've got to be able to take care of my family. Health care has been hard, especially for those people with pre-existing conditions. The landscape is changing across the country in 2014 because of the Affordable Care Act, and we as an association are going to be on the front lines of that, and we're going to offer, I think, we're going to be able to put together a program that is going to be terrific for all of our members, so they have one place to go and to get health care insurance for themselves and for their family. The challenge is going to be, though, Bruce, is that typically the tennis professional is a pretty healthy person, and under the Affordable Care Act, we're going to be paying higher rates than what we're currently paying right now, because the whole entire landscape is going to change, because we're going to have people that are sick and people that have pre-existing conditions are typically going to increase the cost of insurance. So that's something that everybody's going to have to face, but the fact of the matter is you're going to get taxed at 1% of your total family income starting in 2014 if you are not on a health care program. And so that could really, really change the whole dynamics of what's happening in the industry, and that's why we as an association, we're going to be so far ahead of it, so that people are going to be able to sign up and say, I'm in, I want to participate, and it's one of the benefits that I think that are really, really important for our association to have.
That's fantastic. I've got a couple emails and a couple callers lined up. Why don't we jump to a call real quick, John, and see what we've got going on here. We've got 972-233, are you on there? I guess they changed their mind. They had a question, so we'll skip over that one, and we'll go do an email. Hey, Bruce, love your show. Good fun, great guest. Looking to join either the PTR or the USPTA. Which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? Well, first of all, I'm a member of both, and as John's explaining, you know, I'm not really sure, John, as I just said a minute ago, why I'm a member of both. Other than work says, hey, we want a guy who's got qualifications, join both, we'll pay. But for someone new, you know, you get a chance to sit down, you're a recruiter, and someone says, hey, we're at a job fair for tennis professionals who are going to join an association. They're either going to join, there's a few new ones out there now, the Professional Tennis Coach Association. You're explaining to them what the USPTA brings to the table and why they should join. What are the points? Why are they joining?
Well, I've got to be a little bit careful of this because I have a high amount of respect for Dan Santorum and all the things that the PTR have done. Naturally sitting here, I'm going to be pretty biased and prejudiced, and I'm going to want that person to join the USPTA. Each organization has their strengths. Each organization does really wonderful things with their certification process. So I'm not going to, in this particular platform, I'm not going to sort of trumpet us over them. I would just encourage any professional to do their research. I would encourage any aspiring professional that is considering tennis for a career to look at both organizations, look at the benefits that they offer, look at the educational components that they have available to them, and then they can make a pretty intelligent choice. They should talk to people like you that are members of both, and you would be able to tell them what they like about each organization. But I don't think it would be appropriate for me to go ahead and trumpet the benefits of us and joining the USPTA over PTR, because I want everybody to survive. I want everybody to do well, and I want PTR to do well. And I'm going to leave it at that, if that's okay.
Okay. So instead of, you know, because I, you know, as many years coaching college tennis, when I would go out recruiting, I would never bash another school. You know, some coaches do that. I wouldn't do it. All I would do is highlight the strengths of our school. What you get, if you come to play for me at Miami University, this is what you'll get, and this is what we can do for you. So just give me what you can do for and what are some of the strengths of the USPTA.
Well, we've got over 60 benefits that are available to our members, the liability insurance and equipment package with our headpen contracts. Tennis resources, I think, is one of the most marvelous benefits that we have. So as a member of the USPTA, if you're looking for a specific drill, if you want to help your tennis team, your high school team, or your junior team tennis players, and you want drills to help work with your kids, you can go to tennisresources.com, which is one of our websites, and you're going to be able to access a whole host of drills, 300 drills, videos of, you know, the best teachers in the world about certain stroke technique, about certain lesson plans they
can
have.
And what's that website, John?
It's called Tennis Resources.com. and you can subscribe as a non-member. Even a consumer can subscribe to tennisresources.com, but if you are a member, you've got access to all these fantastic drills and videos from the best professors and the best teachers and coaches in the world, from seminars we've given at world conferences, from our tennis shows on Encore with USPTA, which is done with the Tennis Channel. You have access to a whole host of resources that I don't know if enough of our members really tap into. But I am going to be rolling out and announcing more benefits to our members that are include some pretty terrific things. I can't say them right now because we still got to put the finishing touches on a couple of them, but I think by the end of this year, people are going to look up and say, wow, look at what the USPTA is doing for its members. And
awesome.
I'm excited about some of the prospects that we have on the table.
That is exciting. Okay, we'll leave that topic there. Moving on to a new topic. You know, one of the things I talk about on the show often, and I like to get different perspectives of, you know, as somebody who's been in the field, you know, as long as you have and worn so many hats, you know, we talk a lot of times about, you know, tennis players and the U.S. players and where are they, and yeah, we used to have 50 guys in the top 100, but the globe has changed. But from the point of view of tennis, is tennis a business for sure, or is tennis the development of an art form? Can you combine the two? How do you see the quote business of tennis that goes purely for profit? Is that what it's about, or is it about mentoring, teaching? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you, tennis is a business, and it can be a very profitable business if it's done correctly and done right. And club owners and tennis professionals that have a real business mindset can be successful, whether it's in their pro shop, running programs, driving revenues for their clubs. It's definitely a business. There are those that are out there for the love of the game. They're teaching in public parks and aren't charging you know, tons of money because they want to work with kids. They've got scholarship programs. They're working with the underserved communities. Tennis can be both, and it just depends on what your mindset is. What's your passion? What do you want to do? You know, if you want to dedicate so much of your time and give back to your community and really contribute to putting kids in the game and growing the sport, fantastic. If you're in a club that's profit driven and you've got to drive programming and you've got to drive revenue for the owner of that club, and that's what your mindset is, and you can be successful at it, by all means, do so. So it's a little bit of both, and that person that can be successful in our tennis community has to have a little bit of both, because I think every pro has an obligation to give back to their community and to reach out to the community and do things to help raise the game, along with making sure that they're fulfilling their obligation to their owners, their management, their membership, whoever it is, and so supporting what they need as well. So it's a hybrid. I think the person that's going to be most successful can do both.
So, well, we got to go for a break in about 2 minutes. So in about 2 minutes here, now let's get to modern times. You took office when?
Officially January the 2nd, 2013.
And prior to this, you were doing what?
Well, I spent 3 months. I really started in October of last year, the fourth quarter of last year, with the USPTA, doing my assessment, analyzing the association, reviewing all the things, the strengths and weaknesses of the organization. And so I was able to come up with my strategic plan based on that assessment. Prior to that, I was a consultant in the industry, helping a variety of organizations, doing a variety of different things. So it was a real potpourri of responsibility that I really enjoyed. It gave me exposure, I was able to continue the network, the contacts that I have, and doing a variety of different things. But this opportunity came along, and I was thrilled that I was given the chance to do it. And I can't tell you how excited I am about the potential for us as an organization. It's fantastic.
All right, we're going to break for a commercial real quick for about a minute. And when we come back, you know, I'd like to jump into a little bit of what your vision was when you took over, and then your strategic plan for the future of the USPTA. So, folks, stay with us here. We've got John Embry, CEO, Executive Director of the USPTA, with us today. Our call and number, 714-583-6853. We're going to break for a quick 60-second commercial, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Jason Haynes, CEO of the UR Tennis Network. We are proud to announce the 2013 summer camp season has begun. At USSportCamps.com, you can plan out a Nike tennis camp experience. These are offered to both adults and juniors for day and overnight camps. Visit ussportcamps.com to pick up a brochure and join over 50,000 youth who say yes to our summer camp experience. Join a Nike tennis camp at www.ussportcamps.com or call us at 1-800-NIKE-CAMPS. In 2013, let our summer camps be your victory. Choose the Nike tennis camps and take your game to the next level.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. This is Bruce Lipka today and our guest, John Embry. John, so, you know, you start off there at the USPTA, and you got a little bit of a head start, it sounds like, because it sounds like you did a little consulting work for them. And what was goal number one? What was the first thing when you knew you were taking over this organization that you were going to try to do?
During my assessment time in the fourth quarter, I interviewed all the employees on a one-on-one basis. I spent a lot of time traveling around meeting with key people within the organization, both inside and outside of the organization, because I wanted to get everybody's perspective. I wanted to hear from what our members were saying about the USPTA, what they liked, what they didn't like. I wanted to talk to anybody that had an opinion about the USPTA and to kind of distill all that and put it into a blender and then develop a strategic plan from that assessment and from what everybody said and sort of how I looked at things and coming from my business perspective, what do I feel like I could do to really move the organization in a positive direction. It's definitely a new day for the organization. After 30 years of wonderful leadership with Tim, it was time for change, and the selection committee asked me to come in and make some changes that we all felt was appropriate. And so change is hard, I know, for a lot of people at times, but it is a new day, and we are moving forward. And I cannot tell you how excited I am about this new direction. So after that assessment, I worked with the board and came up with a strategic plan that has five core pillars. And if it's okay, Bruce, I'll spend the time just going through some of those five core tenets for everybody. So because I want your listeners to understand what our roadmap is going to be for the next 2 to 3 years, because everything we do from now on has to impact one of these five core areas. And if it
doesn't,
all right,
let's take them one at a time. Let's have it.
Okay. So the first thing we have to do is we've got to get our financial house in order. The association's been healthy and continues to be healthy, but we've been operating for the last 3 or 4 years at a deficit, and I don't think that's a sustainable model. So we had to make some changes internally from a staffing standpoint. There are a lot of things we had to do to both cut costs but also raise revenue, and so we're doing that. We're going to have a significant turnaround in 2013, which I'm really proud of. And so getting our financial house in order and putting the association back on a very positive track is something that was absolutely vital for us.
How were you able to cut costs and add revenue without affecting service? Is there anything that affects service?
No, I think it's not going to affect service. Our staff was a little bit bloated, unfortunately. We had a little bit too much overhead as a percentage of our revenue, so we've cut it back to a level now that I think is reasonable, and I think that we're going to be really lean and mean. I think it's one of the things we have to be, lean and mean, because I want more of the member dollars. Instead of going to overhead and payroll, I want those dollars to go to servicing programs and doing things that are supporting our membership. So I'm a firm believer in that, and I think that's what we've been able to accomplish in the first 120 days or so. The second core pillar is we've got to increase our membership. We've been relatively flat for the last 2 or 3 years, trending at the same levels. We have about 2,000 members that come in every year, and we lose 2,000 members because they're retiring or passing on or whatever it may be, getting out of the sport. So that's not a sustainable model either. So we've got to do a much better job of growing our membership. But that means we also have to get younger. Our membership aging is growing. We've gone from an average age of 39 years old from 15 years ago to 47 years old right now. We've got more members in the 50 to 55-year-old age group than we've ever had before. And 70 to 75-year-old is a thriving category, which is terrific. People are staying in the association longer. They're teaching. But who are the young people that are coming in behind us? So we've got a series of programs to get younger, reaching out to tennis on USTA's tennis on campus, reaching out to allied organizations like high school coaches, associations, college coaches. We've got a lot to get younger people and get more people into the association at a younger age. But in order to do that, we have to have benefits that our younger members can look up and say, holy cow, I've got to come and join the USPTA because look at the benefits that they're offering me.
Right.
So it's it's a comprehensive look at the membership structure. I've tasked every one of the 17 divisions to come up with plans that they're going to be able to do to bring in new members, young people that maybe are not in members right now, bring them in. So it's going to be a comprehensive effort that has to be part of our fabric for the next 2 to 3 years, because I want 5% growth net for each of the next 3 years for our association to be really, really healthy.
And what
core tenet number three is all about our education and all about our certification. One of the things that our members can look forward to, we are evaluating our current membership structure. We're going to come up with some changes for 2014 that I think are going to be very well received. Our education, our membership, and our certification committees have all embraced it, as has the executive committee and the board. So we're working on plans right now to go ahead and roll those out starting in September. Very exciting about how that is going to change the way our membership structure is done. But in order to do that, we've also got to look at our educational process and what does it mean to go to a conference. And I felt for a long time that the World Conference format is old and tired. We have to re-energize it. We have to restructure. We have to do things so differently. And so for those of you that are USPTA members and are considering coming to Orlando, please do so at the end of September, the 23rd through the 27th. We're going to have a completely brand new format. We're going to offer some things that have never been offered before, and you're going to be reading more about that in our Advantage magazine. But we've got to make sure that our educational format is changing so that people are encouraged and enticed, because if they're going to give up revenue from their club and they're going to pay for their expenses to go to the conference, they better come away from that thing feeling like, wow, I really benefited from that. And that's one of the things that I think we have to be able to do. And I'm going to tell you a little announcement, if I could, Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. In 2014, we're going to go to New York to the U.S. Open, and we're going to take the tennis teachers conference. Is now going to be part of the USPTA conference. Our conference is going to be in New York. There are tennis professionals that we have and members that have never been to New York because they've either had to go to one or the other, the teachers conference or the USPTA conference. They've never been able to do both. Now they can, because we're going to have our conference in New York, and the USTA is partnering with us, and they're going to give us free tickets to the U.S. Open on Monday, the first Monday of the U.S. Open of 2014. You cannot ask for anything better than that. What a great showcase we're going to have. Really excited about that.
So are you saying that so there's going to be the World Conference late September, but the Tennis Teachers Conference now is the USPTA/USTA Tennis Teachers Conference?
In 2014, our World Conference will be in New York at the U.S. Open. That was once the Tennis Teachers Conference, is now going to be a Tennis Teachers Conference with the USPTA. So
the World Conference in 2014 is going to be in New York in August, U.S. Open time, and include that Monday of the U.S. Open.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it's great news. It's great news. So that's one of the things we're going to try to provide more education, different types of education from groups like the Club Managers Association. We heard a lot from our members who said, I need to know more about the business of tennis. I'm terrific on court, but if I aspire to be a director of tennis or a director of sport or even a general manager of a club, what do I need to learn about front desk management, about fitness, and about swimming or aquatics, or what do I need to learn about marketing or budgeting and advertising? Those are the business aspects that we as an association are obligated to give to our members so that they can learn that, so they can be attractive to a club that might be interested in hiring them to be more than a tennis professional, but be the director of tennis and possibly a general manager. So you're going to hear more about that. And their club manager, an alignment with our Club Managers Association is really important. In fact, that goes to core pillar number four.
Yeah.
Core pillar number four is that we as an association have to be more aligned at the hip with our allied organizations. Club Managers Association are our bosses. They hire us. Bruce, they hire you at your club at Woodmont.
Yep.
We've got to make sure that the club managers understand the value that USPTA professionals bring to their club in terms of activities, driving revenue, membership activities, et cetera, et cetera. So getting the Club Managers Association to be aware of the USPTA and what we bring is really, really important for us. Secondly, working with the USTA on things like the U.S. Open and the 2014 conference, on education, continuing education. In fact, I've got a membership benefit that we're talking to the USTA right now about that we'll announce hopefully in the month of June, which will be pretty terrific. But we need to be doing more with the USPTA, not the USTA, not fighting them, because we've got great relationships at the divisions and section levels, and we nationally should be more aligned with the USTA as well. But there are people like Tennis Channel and AFIRT and ITA and high school coaches associations, all the people that are involved in tennis and touch tennis, they should look to the USPTA as the leader, and they should look to the USPTA for answers and resources, and I want to be that organization. And then core pillar number five I mentioned earlier, which is we've got to be more diverse and inclusive as an association. We only have 18% of our members that are women. We are not near broad-based enough. We typically are white, male, over 45 years old, and that's not representative of what's in the community. That's not representative of what's in the United States population. And so we've got to be much, much more willing to reach out to other audiences and bring them in and embrace them and make them feel welcome to join the USPTA so that we can go ahead and service their communities. So those are the five core pillars on a very general perspective. Lots of details with action steps affiliated with each one of those strategic initiatives, and they will be rolled out over the course of this year. And we'll look at the strategic plan every year at the end of the year. We'll modify it. We'll tweak it, as every good business does. A strategic plan is no good if it sits on a computer laptop or sits in a desk drawer and is only pulled out once a year. We are going to work this thing. I want to be held accountable for all the things that we're going to go ahead and try to accomplish. I want people to say, John, you laid this plan out for us. What do we accomplish, and how do we do this, and what can we change to do differently? And once we get through this first strategic plan, phase two will come down the road, and that's all going to be about consumer marketing and consumer branding and how we're going to go ahead and elevate the USPTA brand in the minds of the customer base. So that's it in a nutshell, Bruce. I know that's a lot of things to talk about, but I want to kind of lay it all out there for everybody.
Well, it is a lot, and it seems like a different, I guess, direction is the word. It seems like a direction, because I don't know what the previous direction was exactly, but it just sounds like, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's a business model. You said something about business, and it's definitely a business that, for it to be healthy, has to include certain characteristics. What do healthy businesses look like? Healthy businesses are businesses that, you know, financially have a good model. Healthy businesses are ones that grow. Healthy businesses are one that brings something that the people who would use the business. And here you have a small market compared to, I mean, Apple's market is global, of course. Your market is only going to be people who would like to be in the tennis business in some way, shape, or form. So within that, trying to hit everybody, of course, is big. But going back, you know, you made me, you did something, because emails started flying in after you said number four about allied organizations. And some emails were comments about, you know, how great it would be. In a nutshell, it says, you know, how great it would be if his general manager understood how great it is that he's a member of the USPTA and that he has a certification. An email flew in. It says in the title line or subject, it says rumor, and it says, is the USPTA have plans of joining with the USTA? Anything
absolutely
to that?
Absolutely not, flat out. Let me set the record clearly straight on this, because there are all these rumors flying around from people, and I'm not sure where they get those rumors from. But let's be very, very clear. The USTA has no interest in getting into the certification business. Zero, nada, nothing. They want to develop programs, and they look at the USPTA and PTR, for that matter, as the delivery system for those programs. That's what we should be doing. We're on the lines, on the front lines every day. We're the people that are going to be impacting the businesses out there. The USTA has no interest in taking us over. They have no interest in merging. They have no interest in getting in the certification business. They, like us, want to elevate the standards of our tennis professionals and coaches. That's our core mission, and they agree with that core mission. And I can tell you from the USTA higher-ups, whether it be on the board or the national staff, there is no interest whatsoever in having them take over the USTA. They don't want to do it. They're not interested. They got plenty on their plates. And quite frankly, they're delighted that we've been able to come together and sit at the table and work together on a variety of projects that I think are going to benefit the industry and help everybody.
Email here from John in Berkeley, California. In 2014, any chance that the tournament will be held at the U.S. Open site, or will we not have the championships that year?
That's a really good question, and unfortunately, John, I have to tell you that the number of members that are actually playing tournaments has seen a very steady decline over the last 5 years. It's almost embarrassing. Last year at our conference in Monterey, we only had about 80 players total, and we're just people just can't take the time to play. They can't take the time away from their jobs to play and also do education. We're getting older as a membership, so people are kind of, you know, backing off the playings model. And we're actually struggling with our national tournaments committee to try to figure out how what do we want the national tournaments, to our surface championships, to look like. What is it going to mean for us in 2014? We will not have a tournament in 2014 if we go to New York. New York has so many other things that we're going to offer from an education standpoint, the city and the U.S. Open. So, unfortunately, there is not a site for us to be able to have a tournament. I wish that were the case, but that's one of the detriments of going to New York, is that we're just not going to be able to have our USPTA National Championships at that event.
John has responded. Will there at least be courts available for us to play on if we just like to play tennis for exercise?
Not at the U.S. Open site, that's for sure.
Okay.
Now,
well, we could probably, you know what, we get together then and I'll give you some of my connections in the city and maybe you can help create something. Where will the encore presentations be? Is it going to be in the hotel at the Hyatt, like the Teachers Conference?
Yeah, they'll be at the Hyatt. We've got it all orchestrated, so we'll have a court inside one of the ballrooms and we'll have the Hyatt available. So, and they know how to do this. They've done it for the Teachers Conference there for a long time, so they clearly know what has to be. We've been working really closely with the staff of the USTA about the rooms and the turnover and how we're going to do all this stuff. But there's a lot that's got to be done between now and the 2014 conference. I'm really, quite frankly, focusing on the 2013 conference in Orlando and all the great things we're going to be doing down there. But it is an exciting opportunity for our members to come to New York and go to the U.S. Open, get the education from the USPTA. Boy, you can't ask for anything better than that. And I got to tell you, I really thank the USTA for their willingness to help us facilitate and pull this together, because it's going to take a lot of work to get done, but it could be a tremendous show.
Well, that is. I agree with you there completely. I think that's, you know, you hit a couple of nerves that I think were really, now I'm listening. Maybe I wasn't listening so good before, but you got my attention. You got my attention when you talked a little bit about, and it's not that the tournament, I you know, I do play a lot, but that's not the issue. But you said that it's the same old thing and something needs to change. You said it in different words, but that's what I heard. And I feel like that's, the conference is the same thing. It's the same old thing every other year. We go either to California or we go to Marco Island or Hollywood, or, you know, it rotates East Coast, West Coast, East Coast, and it's the same conference every time. I could name the same seven guys who talk about the same seven things, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, a lot of it has become tired, and it's not new, and it's not exciting, and it's not, I don't get the thing and go, oh, my God, I got to attend this, you know.
That's
so
the attitude. That's exactly the attitude that I want every member to be able to have when they leave Orlando, because I heard that, and you are so dead on target. Even I, when we were sponsors of the USPTA at Wilson, for 15 or 20 years, we said, well, you guys got to change the format. You've got to do something different. It's the same old, same old. And people aren't coming because they just don't want to see the same old people. So that's why Orlando is going to be a totally different format. We're going to have a general session starting off every morning that's going to kick off that particular day. Every day is going to be themed with a specific core competency, so that if you want to be able to have instruction, or you want to be able to have expertise from the club operations and from Club Managers Association, go to the Club Operations Day. There's going to be a High Performance Day. There's going to be a Sports Science and Teaching Day. And if you don't want to go to one of those days, go to Disney World and take your family and go to Disney World. But every day is going to have a specific focus, and only that focus will be issued on that day. We're going to have a completely different Battle of Divisions opening session. We're going to have, instead of the old awards breakfast, we're going to have an awards luncheon. We're going to induct three Hall of Fame members, and I'm happy to announce them today. They're going to be Nick Bollettieri, Vic Braden, and Steve Wilkinson. But we're also going to have a keynote speech by Pat Williams, who happens to be the Senior Vice President of the Orlando Magic, one of the great motivational educational speakers in the country. He has 19 children, of which 14 are adopted. He's written countless books. He's actually run like seven Boston marathons consecutively. He's fought cancer. He's one of the most incredible individuals, and he's going to be the keynote speaker at our awards lunch on Friday. So our entire meeting and our entire conference is going to crescendo and build to that Hall of Fame induction ceremony for three of the greatest teachers that have ever lived, and for Pat Williams' talk on leadership for kids and training kids and how to be better leaders in your clubs and in your facilities. It's going to be a dynamite dynamite convention with new speakers from outside our industry who are experts in their particular field. I encourage everybody to come because that's what the model is going to be, the platform. But Bruce, you're exactly right. I've heard it over and over and over. You got to change up the format. We've done it. We've got an incredible schedule, and I can't wait for everybody to be there. So please come.
Well, now Nick, you know, was the director here at Woodmont in the 60s, and long before I was here, but you were actively playing tennis at the time, probably. And
yep.
And then I lived with Nick the first year he had his academy, so I
now
might have to come down there now.
You have no not being there now.
Now I might have to come. But more importantly, I think as the CEO of the organization, each one of those three fellas now need to be scheduled on the Bruce Lipka Show, the official talk show of the USPTA. Aren't you going to make that announcement too sometime soon? This is the official talk show. And these we need to get these guys each on the show and talk a little bit about some things. But shifting gears again, but in the same kind of topic there, you know, I know that there are several, and I don't want to say the old guard. I don't think that's the way to put it. You know, there certainly are some fellas who are still very active and older. I mean, I spent a lot of time, you know, in the 80s around George Bayshaw and Bill Timm and a couple others. And, you know, that's why I joined and got involved in the USPTA. But, you know, some of those guys are gone and some of those guys are still around. And then there are guys like me who, you know, and other guys in their middle life. And, you know, maybe they might have something to offer, but I don't know how to get them involved. You know, I don't know how to get involved, you know, because I don't, you know, I'm not what I'd call a political guy. And every time I hear something about the USPTA, it's some nonsense about, and I'm not saying it's nonsense, I'm just saying for me. I'm sure it's very serious, and people are very, very serious about these topics. But for me, I'm not interested in who votes for whom and how it gets voted. And I'm not interested in, was there some sort of secret meeting to get rid of a guy, or how's the new president, or he's not. I'm not interested in those things. I love tennis, and that's what I'm about. But I'm not going to get involved because that's the way I see things. There got to be guys out there who have something to offer. How do you reach out to them and get them to get involved and bring to the table whatever it is that they might have value in?
Well, you're really talking, Bruce, about a mentorship program. And this is a very, very complex project and opportunity for us. You were mentored by Vic Braden or by Nick Bollettieri. You were mentored by some really key individuals that brought you along in your career. And now that you're doing really well and you've got a great club, we've all got to look at ourselves and say, who can I mentor? Who can I bring along? What are the new members that are coming into my club that are professional, assistant professionals, that I can bring into the association and teach them what I've been taught by some of those greats? In my career, I was taught by some of the greats in the racket sports industry, the Gene Buicks and the Ole Parks and some of the great people of our industry. They taught me so much about the history of the sport and what we really should be considering. And you as a professional and other professionals that have done really well and are in their, you know, 40s and 50s that want to be able to give back, I challenge all of them and all of you to try to reach out to some young kid or young professional and bring them into the game and tell them what's right and what's wrong and what should be done and what shouldn't be done. We want to engage everybody, but in our whole effort to try to grow our membership and to get younger and to be more relevant and to be more dynamic as an association, we need new blood and new energy coming from all kinds of different populations and different kinds of perspectives, because that's what we are. And I think if everybody takes that responsibility seriously, we've got a chance of really making the USPTA such a fantastic – it already is fantastic, but we can make it so much better. So the mentoring that you provide your association, your associates, is vital to our health and prosperity going forward.
Is there any – I'm not really sure. I talk a little bit about the PGA with our golf pro, and sometimes we talk about it in staff meetings and kind of how the PGA is set up and how it works, which I don't know the details of. But did you look at any other trade associations like the PGA or anything else and see, hey, do we have to reinvent the wheel here, or does somebody else have something going on that we could borrow?
Bruce, you are absolutely on target. I absolutely looked at the PGA. In fact, the PGA has an incredible Retirement Plus program that I looked at. And I said, wow, if we could duplicate that for our USPTA professionals, that would be a game changer for our association, for our membership. And so I am in the process of investigating all that. I'm talking to the companies that are involved with the PGA Retirement Plus program. I'm hoping, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to launch something in September at the World Conference that will establish a retirement program for our professionals modeled after what the PGA has done, because it's incredibly successful. They spent 10 years putting it together. They've got all the hard knocks, the bruises and the bumps about all the things that went wrong or things that didn't go well. They know how to do it, and it would be so terrific to be able to just flip a switch. And
thank you for calling Progress.
Yep. You there, John? Uh-oh. Well, folks, stay with me here. We lost John for a second. I'm sure he'll be back, though, in a minute. He'll call back in here. I'm not worried about that. But, you know, I'm still, and I don't know if he can hear me or not, I'm still not sure exactly why I'm a member of the USPTA, but I'm starting to see that there might have some value to it, and there might be a reason. I'm trying to see if I can track down his number here so I can call him back and get him back on the line. We've got a couple other emails that have called in, that have been sent in, sorry, and a couple other calls. We've got a couple people here. If anybody has any questions, if you hit the one button while listening, we can bring you into the show. If not, no big deal. Maybe John had to run real quick and we lost him. But I may try to call down there. I've never used this function here before, folks, but I'm going to give it a try where I can make a call on the phone. So let's give this call to USPTA headquarters. And it is 713. Oh, there he is, folks. He's back.
Where
are you back? Are
yeah,
you back?
I'm here.
You disappeared on me. I was just
getting ready
to call you back.
I don't know whether that the hour time frame came up and I just got cut off for whatever reason. But
We're still rolling.
I'm not sure what. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's okay. Well, while you were gone, I was saying that, you know, I'm still not sure exactly why I'm a member of the USPTA, but I'm starting to see that there might become a reason real soon on why it'd be a good thing to join. So I'll give you that at least it sounds like it's not just another day. It sounds like
Bruce,
it's a new day coming.
Yeah, and let me just comment on that. There are a lot of members like you that have been a little bit disenfranchised or maybe disgruntled about how things have progressed, or they looked at their membership and say, why am I writing this check? You're right. You're right. And so my job and my obligation to you as a member is to come up with plans and programs that are going to motivate you to stay engaged. And I want all those people that may have dropped their memberships to come back into the association. Now is the time to be part of the USPTA because our future is so bright. And I want people like you to be able to say, man, I've got to do this. I want to do this. I want to bring new people along into our organization because that's how we're going to get better. And I'm so enthusiastic. I can't wait to go ahead and continue to deliver this message as I travel around to the various divisions and other conferences. I want people to feel really proud to be members of the USPTA, and I want that pride to carry them through every day that they deal with their jobs. That's my mission. That's my goal, and I'm evangelical about it because I'm so passionate about it.
Well, you were pretty passionate about Prince, so I made the switch from Wilson to Prince. You were passionate about Ball to Match. I carried the clothes. I have followed you everywhere you've gone and everything you've done, so I'm going to give you a shot now, too. You haven't done me wrong yet. So
thanks, bud.
I'm gonna stick by you again, and I look forward to giving some of these things, some of these new things a try. I personally can admit that I don't use a lot of the resources, and you know, in my position, it just seems like you're just always looking for more time.
Right.
You know, there's just more time. So anything that can help me save time and you know, help me at my staff meeting, my pros each week, and you know, we could go on the computer and get some new information out about some stroke or do some video. All those resources at our fingertips, I guess I'll have to learn how to use them.
Our mission, remember what our mission is to elevate the standards of our professionals and coaches, and that's what we do every day. So if we can provide you the format to do that, whether it's tennisresources.com and lesson planning and practice planning and drills, et cetera, that's what we want to do. If it's educational seminars at the Mid-Atlantic Convention or whatever convention that you are attending, we want to make you better. That's what it's all about. We want you to feel really engaged with the association. So thanks, Bruce, for that, and I want to help you. I want to help. My job here in the Houston headquarters is to make our members better. Whatever we can do to do that,
I'm all in. So thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the time. And I'd love to get on the phone with you again at another call, another way down the road. If you want to have me back on and talk about some more, I'd be delighted to do so.
Well, it sounds like Thursday of the World Conference. We may have to go live from Orlando, and I might have to.
And that'd be great. I'd love to do that. That'd be great. But you're coming because you're going to see Nick get inducted on Friday, September the 27th. You got no choice. You're in.
Well, it's hot in Florida in that time of the year, John.
That's all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. You're one of the leaders, so we need you down there. And I'd
love
to do that.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. You know, there's a lot of talk over the airwaves about, you know, what goes on or what doesn't go on. I always think it's best to hear it from the horse's mouth. So I think you've been able to lay out for folks exactly what you're about, you know, which means that's what the organization is going to be about. And, you know, I think there's some possibilities here that I got a little tingle going on in my fingertips, John.
That's what I want. I want everybody to feel the little tingle. I want everybody to feel really, really passionate about what they can do to be better. And let me know how we can help you, because it's our mission to make sure that we do everything we can to service our association.
Well, I appreciate it so much. I will going to run out on the court now, and I'm kind of excited. My ladies are going to wonder what happened to me. The clinic I'm getting ready to teach, so I'm kind of excited a little bit. And I'll follow back up with you with an email. There's a couple other conversations we'll have. You know, some things I didn't get to today, but that's fine. Folks don't need to listen to us talk about some of these other things. And I'm real glad you came on, and thank you for spending an hour of your day with us.
Awesome, Bruce. Thanks very much, and best of luck to you and everybody else, all right?
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Folks, that's our show for today. If you're from the Mid-Atlantic area or you're from anywhere around here, this weekend there's some great tennis going on in the area up in Wilmington, Delaware. At the DuPont Country Club, the Talbert Cup will be played. Up in Connecticut this weekend, the Atlantic Coast Cup will be played. A lot of great stuff going on, folks. It's a beautiful day out there. So if anyone runs into my man Harris Rosenblatt, tell him to hit over his backhand. And if you play Michael Scheer, you better get an umpire, folks. He's a tough one out there. Everyone have a great day, and let's get out there and hit some balls.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.